end up being here a lot longer. Hallelujah. In John chapter 3, excuse me, Jesus says, I have it here in the Amplified, but I want to go to the King James first. If you're there, say amen. If you need more time, oh, it's not even on the screen. You got to go there tonight. They took off tonight. In John chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus says, because it's a red letter edition, the red letters represent the words of Christ that he spoke on this earth before he ascended back to the Father. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You probably heard me quote this quite regularly lately anyways. Because Jesus is revealing his mission. And you had the Jews who were supposed to be the people of God. You had the children of Israel who had been scattered all over the place because of their rebellion against God. You had, out of the group, you had the Pharisees, which was known as the strictest sect of the Jews or the Hebrews in adherence to the law, at least having knowledge of the law. You had the Sadducees, you had the scribes, you had the Pharisees, I've said that. But you had these different groups, if you will, or sects, S-E-C-T-S, sects. And all the others, you know, just to sound it out. You had these various religious groups that were upholders of the law, and they were leaders, and the people respected them as such. You had Rome that had just shifted things, and as far as the priesthood concerned, it was whoever Caesar wanted to be in power as high priest or chief priest. And not according to the scriptures, not according of the lineage of Aaron itself, which is what God established. And so you had these who were leaders of the law, leaders who were supposed to know it and teach it to others. But they became hindrances for the people. They were discriminatory. They went only for their own. And they themselves were guilty of not fulfilling the law, even though they were leaders and all. The people were listening to their teachings and all and really showed some respect for them. But when Jesus came on the scene, everything just like changed. And it's like, who is this? Where did he come from? He doesn't teach like the rest of the leaders teach. He teaches as one with authority. He teaches like he knows something, like he knows someone, like somebody has given him some power that, you know, it didn't come from Caesar, it didn't come from the Pharisees, it didn't come from the Sadducees, it didn't come from the scribes or any of the others, because they hated him. But where did this man get this authority and power from? And then he backed it up with miracles, healing, signs, and wonders. Who is this man? They even asked him, who gives you the authority to do what you do? And Jesus came back with them. I'll tell you what, I'll answer your question if you tell me this. John the Baptist, you know, was he of God or was he of men? Well, if we say that he was of God, he'll say, why didn't we obey him? If we say that he's of men, the people are going to get angry because they regarded John as a prophet. And so they just said, we don't know. We don't know. Okay, neither will I tell you by whose authority I operate in. Jesus on one occasion said, if you don't believe me, believe the works that I do. You know, that I'm sent from God. Even Nicodemus, when he came to him at night, he's like, Rabbi, we know that you come from God. Nobody can do the things that you do except God be with him. But Jesus had to tell some of them, hey, if you don't believe in me, that's okay, but at least believe in the works that I'm doing, that they're from God. So it's like, who is Jesus? And Jesus, early on in his ministry, told them, God didn't send me into the world to condemn it. I could, but that's not why I was sent. I have authority and I have power. And so if I say, go here, you're going to end up going there. But I didn't come to do that. I came to save. Hallelujah. And if that's what Jesus came to do, and that was the will of the Father, that's why God sent him, how much more so us? Amen? Because this is all about carrying that word and releasing that word to others that they may come into the saving knowledge of the truth as well. If he didn't come to condemn, what does it mean to condemn? To count you guilty as charged with no way of escape, with no pardon ever. You're just locked into that state for all eternity. He didn't come to do that. He came to save. Hallelujah. And that's the message of the church. Christ came, Christ died, Christ rose from the dead in order to save each and every one from their sins and bring them into a relationship with God. So Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn. I didn't come to pass judgment. I didn't come, as the Amplified says, to reject or to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation, this is the Amplified translation, and be made safe and sound through him. Now, we're all believers, and we believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. We believe that there is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. But what Jesus just lays out, it's as if it's just a done deal. It's like there's no case for argument or debate. I came into the world not to condemn the world. It would be one thing if he says, well, I came to the Jews, because he was sent to the Jews first, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. He even told them, he says, I have other flock that you're not aware of. And he had to go to them to minister to them too, talking about the Gentile nations that believed on him. And so Jesus, when he speaks, he's speaking like, I didn't come to condemn the world. In other words, I have the power and the authority to condemn the entire world. But that's not why I came. I came this time so that the world can be saved. I'm coming to give my life so that everyone can come into the saving knowledge of the truth. Jew and Gentile, slave and free, Scythian, barbarian, if you will, the most heinous person on this planet, Christ came and died for their sins. This was one of the reasons why he came. Going on in the next verse, he who believes in him, clings to, trusts in, relies on him, is not judged or condemned. He who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. Now you can see why Paul says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And then he qualifies it by saying, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Everybody that has received Jesus walks according to the Spirit, or walks in the Spirit, if you will. And in that, there's no condemnation. There's no judgment, if you will. The judgment has passed over us. We're now free. We're not just free from condemnation, but we're free from the power of sin. We're free from Satan's rule and dominion. The flesh no longer rules. The flesh is subject to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have to obey the flesh no more. It used to be the master. Go whatever you desire. Do whatever you want to do. But now it's no longer in charge. Your spirit man is now in charge. Praise God. And so there is no condemnation, no guilt. You don't have to feel bad about stuff that you did a long time ago, because Jesus is not bringing that up before us. If it's coming up, it's coming up because of somebody else. And that somebody else is the accuser of the brethren. And that comes from Satan, because he is the accuser of the brethren. So if somebody's always bringing up your past about you, something evil or wicked about you that you did, they are doing Satan's work. Jesus is not condemning you. And so you don't have to feel guilty about something you did that you repented of, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you and made you whole. Amen? You are now free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So there's no condemnation. He didn't even come to condemn. But he had to point out sin. He had to point out what was wrong. He had to point out adultery. He had to point out idolatry. He had to point out stealing. He had to point those things out. Not only did he have to point them out, but he had to fulfill the law itself to make sure he did none of those things, but upheld the law all the way till the end where he breathed his last breath before he said those words, "It is finished." Hallelujah. And he says, he who believes in him, him being Jesus, who clings to, trusts in, relies on him, is not judged. He who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. For him, there is no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. But he who does not believe, cleave to, rely on, trust in him, is judged already. He has already been convicted and has already received his sentence because he has not believed in and trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name. Isn't that something? It's simple but yet profound. All your sins get washed away by believing in Jesus. All the guilt and shame, the very punishment, the wrath of God to come passes over you for simply relying and trusting in Jesus' name. By trusting in him, now you're restored to right relationship with God. And every promise of God to you is yes and amen. You are highly favored where once you were rejected, but now you are highly favored in God. And you are entitled to, if we want to talk about entitlements, you are entitled to every spiritual blessing, every earthly blessing. You are entitled to your inheritance in God, not based on what you've done, but based on what he's already done for you. Hallelujah. You lack no good thing in the kingdom of God, simply based on your trust in him. It has nothing to do with your good works because you can't work enough in order to get to this place. It's something that you're brought into by simple trust. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn. I didn't come to judge. I did not come in order to damn people to hell for all eternity. I came to save. But guess what? He's coming back again. Apart from sin unto salvation. He's not coming to die again. He's coming back to take us with him. And the thing of it is that one day, he will come back to judge. And that's where everyone falls who rejects him. As he says in verse 19. Let me go back to second part of verse 18. He who does not believe, cleave to, rely on, trust in, is judged already. He has already been convicted and has already received his sentence because he has not believed in and trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name. The basis of the judgment, indictment, the test by which men are judged, the ground for the sentence lies in this. The light has come into the world, and people have loved the darkness rather than and more than the light, for their works and deeds or deeds were evil. And so he says, this is the judgment. Light has come. Now, in John chapter 1, it talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory as of the only begotten Son. But it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so the very life of Jesus is light, illumination, if you will, itself. It's like the Father in the beginning when the earth was without form and void and darkness was over the face of the deep. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That was for the world. This is for the people. So now we have Jesus coming, and he is life, and his life is the light or the illumination, the revelation for men to come out of darkness. And darkness is not only darkness where you cannot see. You cannot see the errors of your way. And when you think that you see, you're in a worse place because you're still in darkness. It is so wicked and so evil. And this is why you look at a person and say, I can't understand why they just won't get saved. They're in darkness and they think that they're okay. They think that this is fine to the point where they justify the darkness. And then they get mad because light comes on the scene. They immediately perceive light as being judged. But light has to come, otherwise darkness will prevail. Whether they perceive you as judge or not, the thing of it is you're not coming to judge. But unless people's errors are pointed out before them, they'll never realize the state and condition that they're in. Light comes to expose the darkness. We don't come to condemn them, but we do come to expose the darkness. Why? So that they can get free. And you'll never know how deep and how dark the darkness is until you start to walk in the light. Anybody that's been saved, you know where you were before, and you know that you enjoyed doing it. But now that you come into the light, you see how wicked it is. While you're doing it, you see no wickedness. While you're doing it, all you're thinking about is pleasure. You're just thinking about how good it makes you feel. It just seems like the right thing to do. After all, the multitudes are doing it too. And it's darkness, and darkness is so deceptive that it will make you think that it's right and it's okay, even though it's evil and it separates you from God. And being in that state, God could have just said, you know what, Jesus, forget it. I'm not sending you. No, we will enjoy eternity together. As a matter of fact, we can go ahead and just create another earth if we want to. After all, everything was created by Jesus. But what does the Father do? He says, no. Because there are going to be some that will believe in you. And those are the ones that I'm after. I'm after the entire world. I give the whole world the opportunity to get saved. I don't care what part of the earth they were born in, what environment, what they were taught. I've had people that have been bound by idolatry. I've had people that have been bound by heathenism, paganism, if you will. I've had people bound who would offer their children up to throw them in the fire unto false gods, if you will. I've had all of this go on, but I did not allow it to stop me from doing what I want to do, which is to express my love to all humanity, to let them see how much I love you, that even though you're doing what you're doing, I'm still going to cause my son to bear your sin, your shame, your guilt, and take your punishment so that you can come back to me. Because right now, you're in deep darkness. And when you come out of darkness, you start to experience the love and the mercy of God. You start to see how merciful God was with you, how patient he was with you, how deeply he truly loved you. But you'll never understand that walking in darkness itself. Darkness will not let you comprehend the light, but neither can darkness overpower the light. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. So as dark as things get, let your light shine. For the light that shines in you is the life of Christ Jesus. Let the light shine. They may receive it as condemnation, but you just speak those words of Jesus. I didn't come to you to condemn you. If you feel judged, it's because your deeds are evil. Yeah. You're just finding out that your deeds are evil, that that's not right. Well, who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you, but there is one who will judge you. And Jesus went as far as to say this: I didn't come to condemn the world, okay? But if they reject me, they're already condemned. They are already damned. They are already held bound. So it's just an automatic thing. And if they never come to the light, this is their lot for all eternity. It's not like it's for just, you know, like a match that burns until it goes out. You're talking about eternity. Well, if God is love, how can he do something like that? He's love. You may not understand his love, but he is love. Because he does not have to put up with us, but he does. He does not have to love us, but he does. He does not have to be patient with us, but he's patient. He could just turn his back, but he doesn't, all because of Jesus. Let me read a couple of more verses. So Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He says this in John chapter 9, verse 41. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you now claim to have sight, your sin remains. If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But because you insist, we do see clearly, you are unable to escape your guilt. Isn't that something? If you're in darkness and you think you're okay and you think that you see, you become an umpire yourself. Rather than being umpired by the Spirit of God, you call the balls and the strikes. You say what's wrong and right. You know, you now become God. And for many people, they end up making their God. They make up a God that honors everything that they do and say. But our God is not like that. No, he tells us what is acceptable. He tells us what is not acceptable. He tells us what is wrong. He tells us what is right. After all, he created us in his image and after his likeness. He sits in the seat of power and authority to be able to tell us. We can receive from him or we can reject him. Darkness will cause you to reject Christ. Darkness will cause you to resist God. Darkness will cause you to be an enemy of God. And God wants to bring us together as his sons and daughters. I hope I'm making sense. Praise God. He wants us to draw near to him. So Jesus says, if you think you see when you don't see, you're guilty. If you were blind, you would have no sin. Isn't that something? That's like, man, what do you mean? What are you talking about, Jesus? Help me relate to you. What do you mean? If I was blind, I would have no sin. What does that mean? Because if you admit to God that you have sinned, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But if you say you see and you're in sin, then you're going to perish because you think that you see, and so your sin remains with you. For a person that tries to justify their sin rather than repent of their sin, that's the person that says, I see clearly, I'm okay, nothing's wrong with what I do. And Jesus says, your sin will remain with you. And you know what will happen on the day of judgment? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Sin kept you away. Darkness kept you away. And I was trying to bring light, illumination, and revelation to you. Hallelujah. I'm trying to show you how life really is, what life is really all about, what the priorities of every individual ought to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, last one. The thief comes only, according to the Amplified, in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life. Remember, in him is life, and the life is the light of men. And have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. It sounds like Jesus knows something about life that most people don't know. Stealing, killing, destroying, he's saying that's the work of a thief and a robber. That's the work. We can put the devil in that case too, but it ain't just the devil. People can come ripping you off. People can come trying to get in another way other than Jesus, who's the only way. You can't get to God no other way. He says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd in John chapter 10, the porter opens the door. He opens the gate, okay? Then he goes on in that same chapter and he says, I am the door. You can't enter in except you come through the door. If you try and come in another way, you're a thief and a robber. And he says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you can have life and have it more abundantly, to the full, even to the overflow. What does that mean, Jesus? Praise God. It's more than just eternal life. I came to bless your life more than anybody on this planet, past, present, or future, could ever bless it. I came that you can enjoy life now, and in the end, enjoy eternity with me. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. I'll stop for the tonight. I've kept you for a good while. But chew on that. Chew on John 3, verse 17, and then chew on John chapter 10, verse 10. I have some other passages that I was going to go over with you tonight, but it's not enough time. The reason he came is what I was sharing with you tonight. The reason he came, hallelujah, seek and save that which is lost, didn't come to condemn, came to save, hallelujah. Now God is mighty to save, praise God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for each and everyone that is here. For those who are watching live stream, we give you praise and glory and honor. We thank you for ministering unto us tonight. Thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the words that came forth. We treasure them in our hearts. Continue to move within our soul. Yes, you are in our midst, and it's intensifying. It's getting greater, and we honor you for that. We thank you that you heard our prayers for those that we interceded for, and that you're moving and you're working on their behalf. We thank you, Father God, for the sons and daughters that are coming into the kingdom as a result of prayers and intercessions that went forth tonight. We thank you, Jesus, because you are bringing life, life to the full and to the overflow. You are pouring out in abundance, and we receive life. We receive provision. We receive the grace, the favor in everything that we do. You'll bless the works of our hands. You'll order our steps and direct our path and guide us with your eye. Release the commanded blessing upon each and every one of your sons and daughters in this place, that the Lord our God, Jehovah, that he bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Enjoy him to the fullness, even to the overflow. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed as you go. We love you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Make sure you introduce yourself to my cousin Ralph.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.